Good afternoon. Let me just get started by saying that this is a thought experiment. My goal when I thought of doing a presentation on Twitter Health was to actually develop an iPhone application. One of the reasons for that is that I'm a software developer from long ago and love to develop software. I haven't developed anything on the iPhone yet, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to do that. But with job constraints and H1N1 and all kinds of stuff, I never got around to it. But so I want you to think, just following on what Jason said, that don't necessarily think of this as a technology or Twitter per se as a technology. Think of it more as a model, and a model for doing public health specifically, because it's just a different way of approach. So let's start off. How many people in this room have Twitter accounts? Raise of hands. Okay. It's about half. How many tweet once per day? Okay, significantly down from there. I may tweet more than once per day. Two people. And Peter over there. Peter, raise your hand. So I signed up for his tweets and had them sent to my cell phone, but I turned it off because he tweets way too much. Too much information. which kind of, you'll understand why I'm saying that. So how many receive their tweets as text messages on their cell phones, PDAs, or whatever? Okay, smaller group. So the folks that have Twitter accounts, I'm assuming you go to the web to look at your Twitter or to follow people. Is that true? Yes? Okay. Do you know that you can receive these on your text? Okay. And the reason you don't is probably because how many find it annoying? So that's one of the problems with Twitter, and I think a lot of, you hear about it, you hear there's positives and then there are negatives. In fact, some of the folks I work with on a daily basis have actually ridiculed me for even thinking about Twitter as a surveillance tool or Twitter in these terms, and interestingly, I don't see them in this room. Maybe they'll show up later and I'll point them out and embarrass them. Okay, so I'm going to just do a brief overview of Twitter for those who may not know exactly what it is, because I think this is my perspective on Twitter. It's a technical perspective as well. So what is it? It's very short messaging, no longer than 140 characters. So it's like blogging, but it's super, super compressed. And it essentially represents a stream of consciousness from the inane. I'm gonna go ahead and say this example anyway. I actually heard, okay, if I go out of line here, Jason, you can slap me down. But I actually heard that somebody actually attached some sort of device to his chair, and every time he farted, it would send a tweet out to his Twitter account, and people could actually follow his air flow during the day. So from the very inane to I'm sitting here, listening to some joker talk about Twitter to, more important things. So what is it for? I would say that mostly everybody's trying to figure that out at this point. It's a fairly new phenomenon. It's a new platform. People are finding all kinds of interesting ways to tweet, like my chair example. And so this is my Twitter account. You can see I tweeted last minute tweaks on Twitter Health presentation, which I did yesterday. What's nice about it is that it creates a timestamp. So every time you actually do a tweet, there's a timestamp. And you can see some of the things that that I'm following there. Oh, and you can see, like, I have 24 followers. So that these are 24 people that are actually following my tweet. And then I'm following 20 people. And then 82 tweets. I don't know whether that's from the beginning of time or within the last month or whatever. Or you can do, like, on the right-hand side, you see where it says Finn. There's a pound sign or a hash in front of that. You can do a search, and what will only show up are everything relative to Finn. So if somebody is here at the Finn conference, and there are people because they're tweeting, and they put in the hash Finn, you can do a search on hash Finn and see everybody that's talking about everything that's going on here at Twitter. So it's kind of an interesting way to follow the sense of what things are being said, what people think are important, what people are wanting to talk about. Like, for instance, Brian Lee said, Ken, don't forget to include all of the Finn traffic, which I hadn't thought to do. So I did it, and I added that in right here in my presentation, just to show you how interactive it is. So it's not, the nice thing about it, it's not a, from a blogging perspective, you're reading somebody else's thoughts. Twitter is a little more interactive, meaning you can interact back to the person. So you can, if you go down, you can see Brian had several tweets. Somebody, D-Y-K-K-I, said something about Tadis Wahib. And you can go out there and just follow these. Okay. So Twitter, how else is it being used? Companies like Starbucks, Whole Foods, and Dell can see what their customers are thinking as they use a product, and the companies can adapt their marketing accordingly. I actually read somebody say that Twitter is like a global or national mood ring, to kind of give you a sense of the mood of your customers, the mood of a nation, the mood of a certain group that you're following, the mood of a certain person that you're following. So it has an interesting capability. In fact, social scientists are actually following Twitter and using some social analysis to take the temperature or test the mood of different groups and different things. A graduate student at New York University developed something called the Kikbee, an elastic band with vibration sensors that his pregnant wife wore to alert Twitter each time the baby kicked. I kicked mommy at 8:52 p.m. on Friday, January 2nd. I suspect he had these coming to his text, his PDA, so that he could stay connected to his wife and to the baby that was growing. So you can see there's a human aspect, but there's also a physical computer aspect as well. So you can think about different ways to connect Twitter to send different short messages about specific things. I mean, how nice would it be? I think it would be nice, you know, washing your clothes, and at the end of the clothes dryer run or the washer run, actually the washer run would be more important, so the clothes don't sit there and be wet all day, have it tweet you or send you a text message, hey, clothes are done, something to that effect. So, more importantly, this was an article in the New York Times, and I highlighted, social network, a distinctly 21st century phenomenon, has already been credited with aiding protests from the Republic of Georgia to Egypt to Iceland, and Twitter, the newest social networking tool, has been identified with two mass protests in a matter of months, in Moldova in April, in Iran last week was in June, early June, when hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets to oppose the official results of the presidential election. Interestingly, in Iran, the Iranian government did everything they could to shut down this information coming out of Iran, because this information was actually reaching the White House, and the White House was using this information to put pressure on Iran to make sure that they did things above board and to, you know, address some of the social concerns within the country. And as in true technology ways, when they started shutting them down, Technologists within Iran were finding other ways to tweet, using proxy machines and to bypass the government capability. So it's, you know, it's a very powerful tool, you know, that it can be used in, you know, on the global scale or national scale or in this type of situation. One of the tweets that I'm following on a regular basis, and I like to follow ones that, for instance, are one a day. You know, no more than one a day. Of course, if you're following 24 people and you get one a day, that's 24 texts. But in terms of what comes to my device specifically, John Adams back in 1708, he made a trip from America as a diplomat to Russia. And each of these points on the map, as you follow, represent a journal entry that he made on a specific day. So on this day, actually yesterday, August 31st, he tweeted, "Calm and light winds, pleasant weather, latitude, longitude, Simone and whatever, and he played cards." And what was interesting is that John Adams, in his journaling, did about 140 less characters. And so every day he would just make one little journal entry. And you can follow, the fact that he put in latitude and longitudes means we can follow on Google Maps his progress across the ocean. And so, you know, so this was something that was happening over 300 years ago. And I like it because I think the Maine Historical Society, that's what MHS thinks, that this is a kind of an interesting application for Twitter where you can follow the historical progress as if you're living in it today and see the progress and see it on the map. And some days they give you a link where you can go and look on the web and see a picture of the ship or a picture of something else, which is kind of interesting. 40 years ago, last month, I'm sure you saw that the Apollo 11 landed on the moon. And so NASA did a similar type thing. So they started about 2 months before the launch of the Apollo 11. They started tweeting each day, this is what was going on, this is what was going on. This is, you know, not only what was happening within NASA, but was kind of happening within society. And it was very interesting just to get a feel and a sense for the historical context of what was happening 40 years ago and kind of helped you connect with what was happening then. So Twitter is a fast moving target. There is no business model as yet. In fact, they have asked the president and CEO of Twitter, what is their business model? And he's like, don't have one. You know, they're getting funded, and they must have something in mind, but they're not worried about that right now. They're just building capacity, building consensus, building users. So it's extremely experimental at this stage. I mentioned before, it kind of can represent a stream of cultural consciousness. And there are just too many applications to enumerate. I could go on and on and on about, I mean, you almost see everything, something daily in the paper or on the web about Twitter and a different way that they're using it. And I'm not a Twitter expert. I don't spend my whole life thinking about Twitter. It just is a very interesting way to build social contacts and to connect with people. Just to give you an example, I went out onto the App Store on my Mac at home. And this is one of three pages of Twitter-specific applications. So what is the potential for public health?
What are these apps?
Oh, what are those apps?
I mean, what are people doing with these apps?
Okay. Most of them are, let's see, Twitter push notifications, different Twitter applications where you, from your device, you can go in and you can do a tweet, you can read other tweets instead of having to get on the web to listen to your tweets, instead of having the tweets come directly to your device. Yeah. Exactly. So did you hear what he said? He said that some of these apps, you can actually take a picture and you can post that app to the website so you can see the picture along with the tweet. Because right now, Twitter is specifically just text. But you can put a link in there to a picture and to other types of information. And again, the reason I started with this is a thought experiment, because as I talk to people about this and just, you know, trying to talk about Twitter and what it does and its capabilities, what's interesting is that when I talk to people in public health, they come up with really interesting ways that they can use this, you know, to use this model. And I'll talk about a couple of those, but I'm hoping that, oh, you're kidding. 5 minutes. Sorry about that. I'm just waxing on. So CDC has Twitter emergency. There's a health map has Twitter ISDS, which is a syndromic, International Syndromic Society. So what is the potential for public health, future, interactive, and portable? So along the lines of continuation of a thought experiment. So here's an iPhone, and you can imagine you can have a button on there that says share with public health. GPS enable it, and in this case, this is a personal favorite of mine. I want to lose weight. So for instance, every day, sometime during the day, or every other day, or whenever, I just tweet my weight, 196. Boom, goes up, timestamps it. Next day, I can come out and I can follow my weight. So here's the interactive part. Here's the part where it comes back. The reciprocality of it is that I'm tweeting something up, but what I'm getting back is an analytics that kind of shows me how my weight loss or gain is going and what my goal is, and then I can follow it that way. If I share this with public health, local public health, I could potentially receive back information. So if I'm sharing this type of information with public health could come back and say, send me a link that says, go check out this place in terms of weight loss, or you may want to try to exercise a certain way, or use your imagination. So the Twitter Health application would use Twitter as an infrastructure, potentially, includes an analytics engine that provides a closed feedback loop for tweeted message. The closed feedback loop provides a graphical time series, which I just showed you. And so the Twitter application may be configured to handle multiple chronic public health concerns, some of which could be, what do I weigh today? Public health concern, obesity, and it measures my daily weight. How do I feel right now in terms of my mental health, emotional state, happy, sad? You could graph that in a certain way and kind of follow how you're feeling. How often do I smoke cigarettes, which deals with smoking, number of cigarettes that I smoke per day, or what is my glucose level and diabetes, and follow my glucose during the day. And that, again, if you check to share with public health, you can create a relationship with the public health community to get help in terms of dealing with these issues. And also it gives you from a surveillance perspective to kind of get a sense of what's happening in the world. But the nice thing is this is all happening on your device. You know, you don't have to get to a website, you don't have to get to your computer, you can just do it directly from your device. So Deborah Revere from the University of Washington said, why not have a walking application where it tracks where people exercise? And if they decide to share their GPS location, local public health department could monitor popular walking sites and times of day, then show up at a site with water or Gatorade or with some sort of information. And it could look like this. And so public health could see, oh, there seems to be a lot of people walking in this area on this certain day. Let's deploy some public health officials to do whatever to help, to offer assistance. So hopefully this gives you enough information to think about a public health utility. It's merely a tool with multiple purposes, and it's more of a thought experience. And I wanted to add, I don't have any more time left, but I wanted to end with, you know, what can you imagine kind of thinking in those terms, and I was going to say, but maybe at the end we can talk about that.
You can still put the seed out.
Yes, okay, the seed is gone. So think about, thank you, Jason. Think about other ways, just in terms of this platform, kind of a thought experience, other ways that you could use this application that goes on your device to Twitter, tweet up, have public health watch those, and then what kind of response would you have in return? So, thank you.